Monday, 8 February, 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're in Ezekiel chapter 8. And we're looking at the reasons that God would show to Ezekiel as to why he had to send the children of Israel and children of Judah into captivity. We find that the problem, of course, was wicked idolatry, and along with that, immorality. And those two things go together. Idolatry and immorality certainly go together. You remember when Moses was up on the mount and Aaron was supposed to be watching after the people. They made a golden calf, and then they stripped themselves naked. They were worshiping an idol, and they turned to idolatry when the great conflict between Balak and Balaam, when Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel, and he that's Balaam, would keep going up on the mountain with Balak to pray. And while Balaam was up on the mountain with Balak, who was an idolatrous king, the children of Israel were down below, and they were living in immorality. Again, these things go together. So God brings Ezekiel back in the spirit, and he shows him the wickedness in Jerusalem. Then he shows him the wickedness in the temple. He shows them the wickedness among the Sanhedrin, the 70 men of the house of Israel. And each time he would show him this, he would say, "Yet there are things that are still worse than these. You'll see greater abominations than these." Father, do bless us now with thy word. O God, may we learn from this. You said these things have been written for our admonition. They're here for our example, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Help us to learn from them, I do pray. And not just to learn, but to profit from these great truths that thou hast provided and preserved for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God we have his precious word that he has inspired and preserved for us. So as they would go deeper into the house of God and see worse things going on, the Bible says in verse 13, "And he said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. And he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these." Now, I know we've spent some time already on this matter of the women weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz was supposedly some man who was quite the Romeo, a very immoral man that was killed up in the mountains of Lebanon by wild boars, and then he supposedly was resurrected, and they had this big feast when they would, they had this big celebration when they would first of all weep for him, and then they would rejoice over his resurrection, and then the women would become prostitutes for that religion. It was a big, big celebration. But I want you to see that it took place there at the house of God. And you know, we read Solomon's statement in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 14. He made this statement. He said, "I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." And I remember what old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, that there's no sin that any sinner ever committed that a Christian cannot commit under the proper provocation. When you go back to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 23, when Josiah is cleansing the temple after the reign of his wicked grandfather Manasseh, Manasseh had brought in so much wickedness into the house of God until actually God said there would not be a remedy for it. However, he did grant a brief time of revival under Josiah. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 23:7, now this is when Josiah is cleansing the temple, which was supposed to be set apart for the Lord God Almighty. And he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Now, just as the women were weeping for Tammuz there at the house of God, Josiah had to clean up this as well. You know, it's bad enough for people to live a perverted, wicked lifestyle. I think it makes it that much worse when they want to bring it into the house of God. They want, I guess, to make it appear that God will approve of their wickedness. But dear friend, whether it's theirs, ours, or anybody else's, God does not approve of any wickedness, and he has made it clear that holiness becometh thine house, that is, the house of God, O God, forever. But I find it interesting that they were weeping for Tammuz there at the house of God, and then when Josiah would clean up the temple, he had to deal with breaking down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove the hangings for the grove. And I understand that the hangings for the grove was like doors for their rooms or tents or whatever it was, where they carried on their houses of prostitution in honor of Asherah, or we would call Venus. They brought and practiced their wickedness by the house of God, which was blatant rebellion. And as I mentioned early on in this program today, in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 14, Solomon writes in that great chapter, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation of the assembly. And I have learned this over the years. We can't let down our guard anywhere. Sure, I love to go to the house of God. I'm like the psalmist. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I want to leave there, saying as those who walked the road to Emmaus with the Lord Jesus, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us by the way? But I'm telling you, dear friend, you can never let your guard down. You cannot trust the flesh. I can't trust my flesh. You can't trust your flesh. And we're very, very foolish if we think we can. I think I've already mentioned this in this series of messages. But when you stop to think about great men of God that the flesh has overcome, that ought to reinforce the reality that we cannot trust our flesh and we cannot trust anybody else's flesh. As of the time I'm preaching this message, which of course was prior to it being broadcast, I had just talked to a dear preacher friend of mine, and he was sharing with me the sad account that he had heard from another preacher. He said this preacher had said to him concerning his church, well, I'm just going to let down the standards, and I'm just going to basically just let it roll. He said he was running about 140 people, and when he let down the standards, people began to come in, and they brought in, you know, contemporary music and all the stuff that goes along with it. And then he comes back and he says to this preacher friend of mine, he said, you know, we've got a lot more people. But he said, I've got a church full of sin. My, my, my. We were just talking, the other pastor and I were just talking. More blessed to have five people who love God and who would serve him than 500 that are living in rebellion and living in sin. And I'll tell you, we cannot trust the flesh. My old flesh longs after sin. Your flesh longs after sin. There's a constant struggle. Paul said, I find in me that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And as I started to say, and let me say quickly before the program is over, when you think about three of the great men of the Word of God that flesh overcame, I'm speaking about David and Solomon and Samson, then I should realize that a weakling like I am, I have no real confidence in myself. My confidence must be in the Lord. David was a man after God's own heart. Solomon was the wisest of all men. Samson was the strongest, and he was one of the fastest. And yet, as you read their scriptural biographies here in the Word of God, and at times their autobiographies that are recorded here in the Word of God, they were no match for the flesh. David paid awesomely. He paid fourfold. Solomon went into not only adultery, but idolatry, and Samson lost his sight and eventually lost his life. Let us take heed. Let us take seriously the scriptural admonition that we are to make no provisions, make no provision to satisfy the lust of the flesh, and certainly we cannot have confidence in the flesh. Now, where we're going to, God willing, in the rest of this study, we're going to see some of the problems in the New Testament church. We've mentioned the weeping of Tammuz and also the women that were weaving the hangings for the grove right there by the house of God. We're going to be looking at the New Testament problems and applying those great truths to us, and God helping us to stay out of trouble, that God will not have to send us into captivity as well. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for thy precious word. Bless it to our hearts. The entrance of it truly giveth light. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord be pleased to make each of us a channel of his blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.